This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And happy Michael Kopech Day
Congratulations, dude.
Yeah, I guess it won't actually be Michael Kopech Day when people are listening to this, though.
But
it's Michael
Kopech
Day right now, and we're watching him, and it is truly a blessing as a White Sox fan to watch someone who doesn't suck. I mean,
how would you have felt? So it's in the second inning, so maybe he does have a terrible rest of the game. That wasn't meant to be like a jinx, but how would you have felt if he would have gone out? If he would have gone out like in the first inning and given up like three runs and, you know, like didn't strike anybody out, like how would you, what would your feelings have been?
I would be very bummed.
Yeah.
I want to put this convo on hold for a second so we can do just our housekeeping.
Then we'll talk more Kopech.
Sorry to derail the Kopech Day festivities.
Ooh, he hit somebody.
He didn't get hit. Was that Robbie Grossman?
Grossman.
His jersey got brushed or something.
No, drilled him right in the neck.
Anyway. Wanted to thank Boardwalk Audio. Oh, come on.
It
I
hit
can't
his
even
butt.
No,
it
did not.
Yes, it did.
Thanks to Boardwalk Audio for their support and for distributing the show. You can support Boardwalk Audio and DuckSnort by visiting ducksnort.podcast.com. Click the Support Our Artist link. That'll take you to Amazon. Shop like you normally would. We get a small percentage. We appreciate that very much. Thank you also to OffTheBenchBaseball.com, which I can only assume will have round-the-clock Kopech coverage.
Yeah, definitely.
So go check out the boys at Off the Bench for all of their analysis of the this week and the coming season. And what?
That was a terrible call by the umpire. That was a strike.
I'm telling you that, well, one more thing before we get into White Sox talk, which will probably take up way too much of the podcast, which is, as I mentioned, the rest of the season. We're getting down to, the home stretch. We're getting down to playoffs.
5 weeks.
5 weeks. This is the most exciting time to be a baseball fan in many ways. The next couple of months, we'll be doing coverage every week. We'll be doing podcasts as per usual. And we just had a favor to ask of you. If you're listening to this right now, you probably have a couple of friends who you talk baseball with, or you text baseball with,
Skype,
FaceTime. if you're big Google Hangouts, if you you just hang on the internet, or maybe you see them in real life and talk baseball, and many of them probably don't know about this show, but so I guess we just wanted to ask you guys, do us a favor, help us get word out about the show for the home stretch, if you like the show, and just text two or three of your friends. Let's say two. We won't ask too much. Text two of your friends. Just tell them to check out the podcast, Duck Snort. You know, we're on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And just let them know that it's a cool show. We're cool guys. I think Waylon's cool.
I think Greg's cool.
Yeah. And just let them know to check out the show. We'd be very grateful for that.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say. That seems fair, right?
I'm not asking too much. They're not making them listen to the show.
Right.
You know I mean?
But you could.
Or, yeah, like if you're in a car, you can be like, hey, listen to this a little bit.
Plan a road trip, invite a bunch of friends,
say, like,
play
a podcast
several weeks
baseball.
Worth of Duck Snorts for them.
Yeah, go back and play some of the beginning of the season ones.
No, but for real, we're just trying to get more listeners, and we could use your help.
Yeah,
so.
We'd love it. We'd love more people to hear us and keep us going.
More people
but
to hear us jibber jabber about things like Michael Kopech.
Michael Kopech. So. Here we go. All right, so Kopech has a terrible start, let's say. Like a real shit show.
Well, not out of the woods yet. We're in the second inning, two runners on for the second straight inning. He's getting squeezed a little bit on the zone right now.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
Narvaez is a pretty poor framer, like one of the worst in the league. So I was a little bit bummed when I saw Narvaez was catching.
Who's their other catcher?
Kevin Smith.
Is he better?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, he's closer to average.
But what I'm saying, this is why I asked, because I remember being so psyched for Chris Bryant's first game, and, like, I watched it, and he struck out, I think, three times or maybe four.
Yeah.
And it was, like, what a bummer.
Yeah.
But it might be different with pitchers because, you know, you only get four shots. Like, what would I really expect Chris Bryant to do?
Right.
But with a pitcher, the you can reasonably expect him to, like, go five innings and only give up one run and strike out six or something, and that would be, like, a fun, good game.
Yeah. Well, and, yeah, I would be very disappointed just because, you know, he's the guy. We've been waiting for him even with almost greater anticipation than Eloy Jimenez, even though Jimenez is maybe a better prospect.
Right.
Just because Kopech started the season in AAA, he's got just overpowering stuff. It didn't seem like there was a ton for him to learn in AAA.
Right.
The expectation was that he would be up much sooner. So, you know.
This is more of like an anticipation.
What do you mean?
I mean, so I was excited for Chris. I guess I was anticipating a little bit. This is more of like, just like you said, the excitement comes and the disappointment potentially would come from the fact that
you should have been watching this in May. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he has been really good in AAA lately. So, like, you know, I wasn't expecting him to come out and throw like 7 one-hit innings or something, even though he has the stuff for it.
Yeah.
This is his season for White Sox fans with precious few highlights. And the debut of Michael Kopech is one of the biggest games of the season. And, you know, he's not getting blown up or anything at this point. Who knows what he'll finish the day with. But, you know, I think it's been a disheartening season. You know, Moncada has not been all that good.
Right.
Giolito's been terrible.
Right.
Lopez has been very up and down. Anderson's been very up and down. Like, a lot of their young guys, even in the minors, a lot of guys have gotten hurt and stuff like that. So, without getting too vulnerable, I'll say it would make me very, very sad if Kopech is bad the rest of the year.
Oh, well, rest of the year, that would be
much less. Yeah, but
yeah.
Like even one game, you know.
Yeah.
I'm worried about his pitch count right now. He's
yeah, he's
an inning
51.
And two-thirds. He's already at 51 pitches.
I mean, he's going to go four at the most, it seems like, at this point.
Yeah, unless he really pulls it together.
It's
raining. I didn't realize. Well, that could
I mean, they can't
some
bring
of
him,
it.
Yeah, they can't bring him back, though, if they go in a rain delay.
No,
unless it's
not.
Like 5 minutes.
Is there...
I wonder what the shortest rain delay of all time is. Like
shortest?
Shortest amount of time the tarp has been on the field.
Well, I've seen rain delays where they didn't pull the tarp on
right.
the field. Shortest that... I've.
Oh.
Yes!
Good
Kate
pitch.
Him looking.
So he struck
Mauer
out the side.
Is pissed. He did.
Oh, well, there is controversy the whether people think... Strike
right.
out the side means.
But he struck
he
out
struck
all
three batters. So he has
Dang,
four Ks
pitch,
and two
that
innings.
That was 98 miles per hour with that movement.
Yeah.
Everybody should go just check out some Michael Kopech highlights. I'm sure it's not that interesting, especially after we asked people, like, hey, recommend this show to people. And then we're basically providing live commentary.
A game that will be a day old by the time they watch it between two nobody teams. No, I get it. Kopech is it's very exciting. Bryant's the closest thing I can remember for having someone that I was like that jazzed
that much
for
anticipation.
Coming up
yeah.
for one of my teams.
I guess like maybe a mid-season trade is a little bit analogous, like when
yeah.
they got Quintana or something like that.
I still wasn't because like this feel Kopech's like your guy. Like you can see the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I mean Quintana is going to be there for a while, but it still feels like he's a new guy. I was very excited to see him, but I feel like when it's like. Oh, we've like nurtured this dude and there's so much hype. Like,
yeah. What part of it? Yeah, it's definitely, I think you're absolutely right that the hype and the anticipation is the difference because like, you know, 3 years ago, Carlos Rodon was the guy.
Yeah.
But he had only been in the White Sox system. He got drafted in June and made his debut the next April.
Right.
So it was
so like
a half a season basically.
Unless he had like Bryce Harper or Strasburg had like, hype coming into the draft. Even.
Right.
So those kind of players you'll have. I think it's very rare to have someone debut that has like a ton, you know, like maybe three or four times. Like Acuna was a big deal.
Right.
But most people aren't a huge deal.
Right.
To come up where you're like this excited where it's like happy Kopech. You know,
yeah,
like it doesn't
yeah.
happen very often.
Well, it's also got to be a scenario where the team doesn't have much else going for them. You know, like even with Acuna or like Soto or something, it's like, yeah, this is a big deal, but also these are like teams that are competitive and have other good players.
Were competitive in one of those cases.
Right. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. We didn't run down what we were going to talk about at all, but we will be talking about the Nationals shortly. Yeah, I don't know. It's a big deal for White Sox fans. I had both my dad and like the two other White Sox fans that I know texted me, and you texted me too, about Kopech. So it is like definitely, you know, people are aware of it in the general area of White Sox fans.
His Instagram posts that were just like super low key digs at not being called up were so good.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the thing, is like it seemed like they were, we talked about it a few weeks ago. It seemed like they maybe were going to try to keep him and Jimenez down. Oh, fuck, a rain delay. Well, that's it for Kopech Day.
Dang.
This is so perfectly fucking White Sox, man. They can't even debut a pitcher right. Yeah.
It's funny because the last significant rain delay in Chicago sports history was great for that team.
What?
I was just talking the 2016 World Series.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I see.
That's frustrating.
Well, shit. Well, that's probably the end of Kopech then. Two innings, no runs, three hits, four strikeouts. Could be worse.
It's pretty good. That's frustrating. Do you want to talk? Should we talk about the Nationals, like we said?
I guess.
I'm sad. You're so sad. I want to get you off.
You know what's going to be funny, though, is like the people who are aware that this happened and were like, you know, giving play-by-play for these strikeouts, and I'm like talking about how disappointed I'll be if it's a bad game, and then they'll know that he only pitched two innings.
Yeah. We could be wrong. You could be wrong. You're probably right, though.
Could be.
The Nationals, the Washington Nationals, who we just talked about. I tried two segues, but you were so Kopech-minded that we kept on going.
Speaking of Kopech.
Nice. They gave up, right? They're giving up.
Yeah, thrown in the towel. So if you haven't heard today, well, yesterday for you fine listeners. God, I'm bad at that. They traded Daniel Murphy to the Cubs, and they traded Matt Adams to the Cardinals.
Yeah. And there was that rumor that the Dodgers claimed him off, Bryce Harper off
waivers.
Yeah,
they claimed Harper, but the Nationals pulled it back. Yeah, I mean, so they're definitely selling off pieces, but they started doing that even at the deadline, with Kintzler, right? My thoughts on that. Well, one thing I saw, I think it was Eno Saris, who writes for The Athletic now, tweeted that before on Friday, the Nationals had like a 20% chance of making the playoffs based on Fangraphs numbers. And today it's like 10% before the trades. So like bad weekend, obviously, maybe was the nail in the coffin on their season.
Did they have a bad weekend? They must have.
Yeah, they must have. I don't know exactly what happened, so it makes sense. You know, what was the return for Murphy? It couldn't have been anything like
it
huge
was a
for either
high
of them.
A minor league infielder who I can't remember his name right now. You know, I'm not much of a prospects guy, but the prospect, but it's also like, talk about a log jam, I guess. Second
infield.
Base. Yeah. Like Baez and Bryant are are there.
Andrew Monasterio is the name of the prospect, spelled like Andrew Jones. I already like him.
Maybe he was named after him.
Maybe.
Cause what would that have been? Andrew Jones debuted in 1996.
Something like that.
Yeah.
He was born in 1997. It's possible. I wouldn't say probable, but possible.
No, I don't think it's probable.
I mean, not a great prospect. It doesn't look like
But it's also a rental because I think Murphy's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, and Adams didn't get anybody. It was just a waiver claim.
Yeah.
Waiver claims
aren't those still trades?
You can negotiate a trade.
Oh, if you clear waivers.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Or if you do a waiver claim, either the team who has him can pull him back or let him go negotiate
that's
a
trade. That's right.
And so the Nationals just let him go.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals got him for nothing. You know, like, with that kind of thing, it's a little bit curious to me from the Nationals' perspective of, you know, okay, they got a guy for Murphy, even if it's a flyer, at least they got a guy. But, like, it's not going to meaningfully impact the team in the future, probably, this prospect that they got.
No, so it's like kind of like, what's the point?
Yeah, it's like, why did they, you know, sure, they only have a 10% chance of making the playoffs, but that's still 10%, you know, and it's not as if they're getting a big payoff. And it's not like they still have all their best players, you know, unless they're also planning to trade Gio Gonzalez, or I think Harper's like their only other notable free agent, right? Yeah. Matt Wieters maybe is a free agent, but he hasn't been good in a while.
I feel like, yeah, that's a good point.
I just don't know. Like, it feels like just do something or don't. It's kind of how I feel about it.
And it also feels they're only 6.5 back in the wild card, which is a lot at this point because it's a very crowded race. They're 7.5 back in the division, but like none of the teams ahead of them are soup. It's not like the Yankees, and you know, like it's like.
No, I'm with you. I agree.
I'm on both sides because I also feel like I've kind of personally given up on the Nationals for a couple weeks now. It doesn't feel like they're going to make it, but I don't know. Feels weird.
Feels like they need a change of some kind.
Yeah.
Which I guess is what they tried to do with Dusty Baker in the offseason.
Sure.
But like, I don't know how this kind of change is helpful to them.
Yeah,
unless they really like that guy.
The Cubs guy?
Yeah, Andrew.
Andrew Not Jones?
Andrew. I'm thinking like Moltisanti, but that's a guy from The Sopranos.
Mogotone.
Monasterio.
Montessori.
Montessori school.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess like Daniel Murphy's kind of a homophobe, so maybe that's good that he's not in the squad anymore.
I mean, like, yeah. You know, you never know what's going on behind the scenes, but it just seems strange. It's like they should have traded Herrera maybe earlier, although he's on the been hurt. I don't know. I just can't figure it out. I guess what it comes down to is I haven't really liked any of the moves they've made in a couple of years. Like I guess the Madsen trade or the Doolittle trade. Yeah, Doolittle and Madsen trade was pretty good last year. But I didn't really understand. I'm no Dusty Baker fan, but I didn't really understand why they let him go. I didn't think he was doing anything bad.
And he seems like a player's manager. That's his whole thing.
Yeah, he seems like a player's manager. I guess Martinez was a pretty decent hire. He'd been on sort of manager shortlists for quite a while. But it felt like maybe they should have made more of a push.
It also feels like if you're Bryce Harper, man, like would you... I wouldn't go back there.
I guess it's just confusing. Like, now that I'm thinking about it, it's like, okay, I haven't loved what they've done, but they haven't done anything outright terrible either. Like, the Adam Eaton trade was a good idea that hasn't really worked out because he's been hurt.
Seemed like it should have been good.
I guess the one thing... if I was Mike Rizzo, and I pray to God someday I will be, not a GM.
Not a GM, Mike Rizzo. Yeah. A Freaky Friday situation.
Yeah. I think we talked about this maybe on our trade deadline episode, is I would have traded for JT Realmuto.
Yes.
Either at the deadline or before the season.
Yes.
Like, you know, I don't, like, pay up, man. Like, if you're going to go in for it, go in for it.
It just feels like he's too scared to, or I'm not scared, but it's just like, yeah, I feel like he doesn't know what to do. And so he just doesn't really
It's just confusing. Maybe it's like, maybe... he doesn't know what to do because no one knows what
That's
to do.
True,
you know,
yeah.
It's like this team should be much better than they are. So what's the problem? The problem, I guess, is like Ryan Zimmerman has not had a good year. The Strasburg has been hurt.
Their bullpen hasn't been great.
The bullpen hasn't been great.
Or
but they've
injured,
had things go
injured.
Right, too.
Yeah.
Like Juan Soto's
been
great.
Well, Harper's not playing well. Harper's all power.
Harper's been
year.
Good lately, though.
But, I mean, not... I
right,
guess I don't
he
know
hasn't
how,
been
like
an MVP
and his defense has gone way down.
Yeah,
I've been reading. I mean, but you're right. The Soto's, but I have no idea how are Turner and Rendon doing. Like, I have no idea.
Turner's having a good year.
It's a catcher is a black hole for that team for sure.
I don't know. It is confusing.
They're a 500 team. Like, I guess it's just one of those where it's like it kind of feels.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say the vibe. I'm not a Nationals fan, so I'm not like in the fandom. But the vibe feels like the Cubs last year, where it just feels like they can't ever. I mean, other teams have experienced this, where it's just like you can't get a winning streak together. Like,
right.
The two straight games, someone hits a walk off grand slam and a walk off home run against them, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're a little bit like snake tough. Bit for sure.
And it just feels like, and I feel like if you're in that, it feels frustrating.
Yeah.
And then if you start to get frustrated, you start to play. I don't know. I'm obviously just, but like.
Right. Which again, but it all, again, it goes like, I don't really understand the moves today. You know, it's like, yeah, I feel like either ride things out or make a bigger push for next year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. They're not out of it. They're about as close to out of it as you can be without being out of it.
Yeah.
But like, you know, they could still make a run. And if you're going to make a run, you probably want Daniel Murphy to be one of the guys who gets hot.
And it's the two teams ahead of them are the Phillies and the Braves, who aren't also playing super well right now. The Braves just got swept by the Rockies and the Phillies just lost 2 of 3.
Yeah.
And it's like they're 7.5 out. But, man, you win 7 games in a row and they go 3-7.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you're 4 games.
Right.
Like, and then it's still September.
Yeah. What do you think about Murphy on the Cubs?
Well, he's kind of a Cubs villain because of the 2015 NLCS when he hit like 75 home runs or whatever.
So he's just going to be a bench bat, presumably, right?
No, I think he'll play. I think Zobrist will probably be the bench bat.
Because he just has more flexibility?
Well, Zobrist could also play the outfield. So I think that Murphy will play second, and then Russell is the odd man out. Addison Russell's
really
for sure. He's having such a terrible season.
I guess I didn't realize he was having that bad.
He's having
year.
A very bad.
So
Javi's he's been worse lately. So Javi's just going to go to short or third.
What about Hap?
Hap is also having a bad season. So I feel like Zobrist. Well, they have too many outfielders anyway. But it's going to be like Almora, Hayward, Zobrist, Schwarber. So I guess Happ and Almora will play center. Maybe they'll play Hayward in center again. This is all speculation. I haven't looked at all into what anybody has said. But Russell needs to go. So that's one of the reasons they made this deal. And Bryant's not super close to being back yet. He's kind of close, but they'll have David Bodie, I guess, for third.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have a lot of depth.
Baez can play third, too. I don't think Zobrist can play short.
You know, they're definitely mixing and matching for...
I think it makes sense. They needed an infield. They needed a way to get Russell out of that lineup and to super justify it. And I think this does that. I think Russell's going to go on the DL. I'm over Addison Russell. David Murphy, it's going to be weird. He's like a person that... Daniel Murphy. He's a person that Cubs fans don't like.
Yeah.
For personal reasons, because he seems like he's kind of a not a great guy. But also because he destroyed them in the 2015.
Well, they'll get over it if he plays well.
I mean, we put up with Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And I think Matt Adams for the Cardinals seems like a pretty... I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't do that, right?
Yeah, if you're getting him for free.
Yeah.
I guess what's curious is, like, the Cardinals are another very mixy-matchy team, and they sort of got rid of Tommy Pham to... like open up that playing time a little bit.
That's true.
And like, so they could play Jose Martinez more and Harrison Bader more. And like just put Matt Carpenter at first base full time, I think. But now like Adams doesn't play anywhere but first base. So maybe Carpenter is going to be seeing more time at third again.
I don't know. Or it's just like Matt Adams is a Matt Stairs.
Justin Boer. On the Phillies role.
Yeah. Just kind of.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, can never have too much hitting.
Plus, with the rosters expanding.
Yeah.
You know, like it's may as well have him on the squad.
Yeah.
How do you feel about rosters expanding? Do you like it?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I think it's more fun if you're, again, a rebuilding team, just because you have more guys to pay attention to, less of the same shitty faces. There's an undercurrent in White Sox fandom that expanded rosters are one of the reasons why they blew a division lead in 2012, because Robin Ventura was a rookie manager and he didn't know how to manage a bullpen with like 12 guys into it. So he ended up putting like these September call-ups and really
you
crucial.
Don't have to play them.
Yeah, right. Well, I guess it took him a while to learn that lesson or something.
That's just what's weird to me is when it's like a game and some reliever comes in and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Who is this?
Yeah. But like, I think generally, you know, I like seeing guys make their major league debuts and stuff just in general, even if they're not a, you know, I like seeing when sort of journeyman guys are rewarded with a little cup of coffee in September,
like that
kind of thing.
I like that for like the Cubs, it keeps like Bodhi and on the roster, you know?
Yeah.
Cause he would definitely get sent down when Bryant comes back.
Right.
Sometimes it sucks when, like, if Bodhi continues to play well, then it's like, well, there's just kind of no chance you're going to be in the playoff roster.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they keep him over.
Russell might not be on the playoff roster.
But he's a good defender, isn't he?
Yeah.
Who else would play shortstop on
Baez.
That? But, like, who else? Who would be their reserve shortstop if Russell wasn't on the roster?
Because Murphy... I don't think Zobrist can play, and Murphy can either.
No, definitely not.
I don't know if Bodhi can.
I would say
that... Yeah, you're right. Ian Happ plays infield, but I don't know if he plays short.
Yeah, maybe Happ's on the bubble, or maybe Murphy's on the bubble, depending on how the last couple months
I guess you're right. I don't know who else would play shortstop for him. Unless
I'm surprised they had... If Russell's really having that bad a year, have they been playing Baez at short and a Happ at second?
I mean, it would usually be Zobrist at second and Baez at short.
Gotcha.
And then Bodhi would play third.
Gotcha.
Like, Russell's not super every day. He's just, like, he's been looking worse lately, though, too. It's like his at-bats are just, you know what I'm talking about. When you see a player, it's just like your at-bats are completely worthless at this point. And Happ, I don't know if the numbers bear it out, but the last three times Happ's batted with runners on, I've said to my wife, Happ's going to strike out. I'll bet you... $30. I've been betting her $30 that Happ's gonna strike out, and I was right all three times.
And Katie owes you 90.
Katie,
big
sweet
smackers.
Ones of the money we share.
Well, the only other thing we wanted to touch on was that as we're recording this, the Oakland A's are tied with the Astros for first place in the AL West, and we talked last week about. Our most exciting playoff races. I had the AL West ranked number one for exactly these reasons.
Wow, you did.
So I'm just bragging a little
bit. That's a nice brag.
But I don't know. It still is kind of hard to know. Like, I guess this is sort of a... Maybe this is not fair to the Athletics, but it's hard to trust them to... actually win the division.
Well,
right?
Yeah, and like Altuve's still out.
Right.
Did
and
you know
he's cut isn't he coming back today?
He's
or
coming
tomorrow?
Back soon. I can't remember when. Yeah. Did you know what I read today somewhere?
I know exactly
you know
what
I
you
read?
Read today.
Oh, cool. Never mind. The Astros have only had five starting pitchers all year.
Really?
Yeah, the same five.
That's pretty cool.
That's really impressive.
I think in 2005 the White Sox only had six. The year that they won the World Series.
Because you think
that's
just like one
sign.
Doubleheader or spot start or like a like not even that they're playing bad, that just
don't
have anybody
schedule
ready.
Wise or whatever.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. That is impressive. I agree.
So I just think because the Astros are just now getting healthy and Correa hasn't been super good since he's been back and you can't necessarily count on that continuing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it still feels like the Astros division to win. And the A's and Mariners play each other, and the Mariners are motivated to win this division. So they might, you know, the A's, it's not like the A's can go down and just start beating up. It's not like they're in the NL Central or AL Central where they can just, like, have teams to beat up.
Yeah,
it's not like the Rangers are like Angels are super terrible. the Rangers aren't great, but it's not like the Orioles or Royals right. or the Marlins or something. So
well, so here's the weird, here's the thing that I think sums up why you can't necessarily trust the A's. So the A's wins above replacement leader. So Matt Chapman is their by far and away their best.
Right.
Which you can probably trust. Second is Jed Lowry. Third yeah. is Marcus Semien.
Okay.
Which is
you
like
you don't want him third.
Yeah. Their best starting pitcher, Trevor Cahill.
Yeah, that which is just bonkers.
Their overall pitching war leader is Blake Treinen.
Okay.
Relief pitcher.
Barely know who that is.
All-star, but
okay. I didn't what memorize the rosters, Greg.
Well, maybe you should have. This is a baseball podcast.
You know what I can do?
Huh.
I can name the all-star starters for every 90s and 2000s all-star team.
Okay, I don't want to test
I'm not
going to
do that now. It takes so it take like 30 minutes.
But
on sporkle.com, one of my favorite websites.
Sponsor.
I held
the
up
show.
My phone as if I had it up there. I didn't. I just have my phone in my hand. Yeah, sponsor. Along with whatever website I mentioned.
Kopech Day.
Yeah, he's personally sponsoring us, right? Now that he has that sweet, sweet
Major League
health insurance.
Anyway.
It's weird that they're here.
Yeah.
So of
the
course
only
you can't
thing
trust
that
them.
You can really hope for, right, is that the Astros are just the Nationals the rest of the season, and it doesn't make any sense why they're not good. Because if they get Altuve back, I mean, Springer hasn't been great since he got back, and neither has Correa, as you mentioned, but like they're getting healthy.
Yeah, and their starting pitching's still good.
Yeah, you just kind of have to hope like they are, or like Dodgers, I guess, at the end of last year, like they're just kind of inexplicably bad. Like they just aren't playing well.
So
they can't. They just can't
weird.
Fire on all cylinders. Right. That's what. That's
so
all you,
you
can hope
think
for.
That it's going to be more of a like a 15-27 stretch from the Astros while the A's play normal versus like the Astros play like around 500 and the A's and Mariners just play A's play very well?
I think so. I mean, can you really say that you picture the Athletics playing better than 600 ball? Like that's what they're playing right now. So,
well, not that good. 600's pretty good.
But if they continue on their current trajectory,
yeah.
That's 600.
But it's late August and they're already like how do they get, you know what I mean? It's not like this is like June 7th.
I'm not sure why I follow.
They've played this well this long.
Yeah.
Like
no, those wins are banked. Yeah. Like what I'm saying is like I guess I'm saying yes. I think if the A's win the division, it's because the Astros played poorly, not because the A's played great from now until the end of the season.
I don't think I'm quite there. I think that I think if the Astros, I don't know how many. If they have 40 games left, if the Astros go 25-15, they probably win the division.
Yeah.
But I think the Astros could go 22-18, which isn't poorly necessarily, and the A's could still. So
that gets the Astros to 97 wins.
But I could see the A's. But they're tied right now. They have the same exact record. They're the same. They play the same many games. The same amount of games. So I can see the Astros going 22-18. Just means the A's have to go 23-17, which doesn't seem that crazy to me.
Yeah, I guess
I guess that's what I'm saying is that I feel like it's probably, I think you're right in the sense that it's most likely how they're going to win the division. But I do think the Astros can continue to play above 500 and the A's can keep pace.
I'm with you.
It's a tiny margin.
Yeah.
Like 24 wins from the Astros from here on out probably clinches it.
Yeah.
If they have 40 left. I have no.
They have 37 left.
Yeah. So
close enough.
Yeah. So whatever. You know.
How many wins do you think wins that division? 98? 100?
So wait, what are the records right now with 37?
75-50.
75 with 37 games left? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, 96 is probably the lowest number that wins that division. So probably 97 or 98.
Dang. I think 96 would be too low probably.
You think so?
Well, that would mean they're both playing about...
Wins.
Yeah, that would mean that both teams... both the Astros and the A's have played about 500 ball.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
the Mariners have, you know, played.
Yeah, because they're only like 3.5 back. What a weird deal.
Weird division.
And
it'll
the Mariners
be fun to watch.
Have kept it up this long.
Yeah.
Like, the Mariners haven't really lost a lot of ground to the Astros. They've just gotten passed by the A's, which I think why they're not a story anymore.
Yeah.
Like, this is about where the Astros have been all season. That's
the,
crazy.
The Mariners have a negative 39 run differential, though, which is crazy.
I believe more in the A's than the Mariners. Certainly.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, by a lot.
Yeah. But the Astros still have like a plus 200 run differential, and the A's is like plus 80.
If
like
I'm betting, Astros, it's the Astros.
Yeah, the Astros are really underwhelming, is what it comes down to.
Here's the other thing. Have you watched any A's home games?
No, I don't.
Like
think
recently,
so.
I forgot what it's like to watch the A's home games when they're good. It's so fun.
Oh yeah,
that crowd is so good.
That's cool.
Yeah. I definitely recommend one, especially if it's against the Mariners or Astros.
Yeah.
That the stadium always looks empty because they block off so much of it because it's a football stadium.
Yeah.
But, man, that crowd.
They're into it.
Not a lot of crowds in playoff races are super great, but, yeah, they're
that's cool.
They're mentionable.
I'll check one out.
Yeah, check out
as
an
long
A's,
as
an
it's
home
once it's not Kopech Day anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Oh man,
today I can't even. If I
what
if I don't
the White seem, Sox are going to Oakland?
They were already in Oakland.
Dang,
early in the year.
I tried.
Yeah, I'll be a lot more eloquent about other baseball things when it's not Kopech Day.
You're really
just got Kopech.
You're under the
Kopech
cloud.
Yeah. Well, I think we should take a break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about our favorite and least favorite
Texas Rangers.
No,
wait.
Of all time.
Hold on a sec.
What?
Do the Washington Senators count for this?
No.
All right.
I mean, I guess if you want them to.
Have we been? Is this the first time we've done a team?
I guess we did Brooklyn
locations?
Dodgers, right? Or like we said, we could do Brooklyn Dodgers. Okay, Senators count.
But not the original Senators.
No.
So Walter Johnson is not eligible for this.
Yeah. Well, for the Twins, he is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the... So basically, you're deciding if Frank Howard is going to be your favorite. all right.
Well,
cool. Let's take a break.
Stay tuned for the thrilling conclusion. We'll be right back. Back to Duck Snort.
I'm waiting. I was going to introduce myself.
I had nothing planned, and I just was hoping you would fill the silence.
I didn't. I just stared at you.
We're back. We're talking Rangers baseball.
Texas
as
Rangers.
We always do. By the way, you folks out there listening know this is a Texas Rangers podcast.
Yes,
it has been the whole time.
This is low key, but this is a bad Texas Rangers
just
podcast.
Just a terrible Texas Rangers podcast.
I feel like the Texas Rangers, since I've started watching baseball, I've had a ton of fun players and teams.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like this is a hot one to pick.
Yeah. Which kind of funny because sort of prior to the 90s, right, they were a bit more
of a wasteland.
Yeah. They very much are a team of sort of like our generation of baseball fan.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I agree. It's weird to think about because I think the Mariners probably fit this too because they were very bad.
Right.
But then we came on when there was like Jay Buhner, King Griffey Jr., Edgar Martinez, like Randy Johnson. And I think the Rangers probably, because they came in the league, the Rangers were a little older. But yeah, they just didn't have anything. And then so it's weird to think about this like joke of them as
I definitely don't think of them as a joke. I do think, you know, compared to the Mariners, they've had more eras of good baseball since then.
Definitely,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, they made two World Series in a row, so
right.
But I think that they've had stronger teams as well. This was an easy one for me to pick my favorite because they have my favorite player of all time. But if I didn't pick that, it's difficult. There are a lot of really fun players.
Yeah.
From now until right now.
Yeah, I had a tough time choosing, but we'll go. Let's start with yours since you alluded to
it.
Your favorite player of all time and your favorite Texas Ranger of all time is
Nolan Ryan. He's my favorite pitcher.
Who?
Of all. Nolan Ryan. You ever heard of him?
No.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Oh.
The Ryan Express. 5,714.
I'm sorry, this is a Texas Rangers podcast, but only like post 1997 Texas Rangers.
Man. Oh, he almost pitched that long. I didn't really get to see him play a lot, so it's almost like he doesn't qualify, but I definitely did. I saw him, I watched him pitch. I was watching the game on WGN when he punched Robin Ventura, which is a real highlight of my whole life that I got to see it live. But he retired. 93 was his last year. Same with George Brett. And I really started watching baseball like 92. So I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see like vintage Nolan Ryan. But he was my favorite. Like I had Nolan Ryan posters. I sent him a letter, and he sent me back an autograph picture. Don't know if it's a real autograph.
That's cool though.
Whether it is, but it was cool. So I like him. I always liked him. He's like, it's kind of not shameful to like him, but he's just like the opposite of an analytics.
Oh yeah,
pitcher,
for sure. Very
old
school.
Very old school.
And he
walked
a ton
of
dudes.
Of guys. But struck out a ton of guys.
Yeah,
7 no hitters, which is insane. Which is kind of probably like because no hitters are kind of random and an anomaly anyway. So it kind of just feels like a freak thing. You know what I mean?
But I think he was a pitcher who was kind of the truest definition of unhittable in that. It was really difficult to square him up, even if it was very difficult to make contact, either because he threw it so hard or his stuff was so nasty or he just missed the strike zone completely. And it was very difficult to square him up. You know, I think, no hitters are random, but when you throw seven of them,
it's probably saying something.
There's an underlying skill there, and it's like backed up by the strikeouts record, you know.
And he has a single season record, which is crazy.
Yeah,
that was for the Angels though, so we'll talk about that.
Yeah, you can't bring it up. I'm sorry.
I
think, you know, obviously he's one of the indelible figures of baseball and continues to be in his role with the Rangers now. I mean, it's hard to argue with that choice. I guess you can't argue with it just because like it's your favorite, whatever. But like the only argument is like those weren't his best years. The Rangers.
No, they certainly weren't. But
that is what I identify him with as well, kind of being the same age. And like, I remember learning like I knew he pitched for the Astros, but then sort of as a kid hearing or like reading like, wait, he was on the Mets? Wait, he was on the Angels?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? No, this is like a Texas guy.
I wonder someone who like started following baseball, because I think his rookie year was 67, 66, 68, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
His rookie year wasn't 69 when they won, but he was still on the Mets. So, but anyway, someone that started watching baseball like around 66, 67 and followed baseball, like what team is Nolan Ryan to them? Is probably an Angel or an Astro. Angels when he threw three of his no-hitters, I think, and his strikeout record. Like, that's when he was, like, peak striking everybody out.
Should I text my dad right now and see
what
identifies
team do you
Nolan
Ryan
with?
Nolan
Ryan.
Maybe
well,
it's the Astros
because
he's, like, a
responds.
Texas guy. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I actually wouldn't be surprised if it was the Angels because, like, I think... we went to an Angels game recently and like, before the game they were, I think I even talked about this on a different pod, but like they were showing all of like the Angels greatest players or whatever.
Right.
And obviously Ryan was in there, but my dad knew a bunch of other players from those Angels teams as well. I didn't realize the Angels had sort of a heyday
in the 70s. Yeah. Cause like Don Baylor would have been on that team.
Right. Exactly. Rod Carew.
Right. Oh yeah. I think that, I think that his numbers retired for Angels, Astros, and Rangers too, which is
really
crazy. I think because he pitched like he was so good. His best probably season was in the 80s with the Astros. He went 8-16. I think it might have been 88. But he led the league like in strikeouts, and I think he had like the second or third best ERA. But he was definitely a wins victim because he went 8-16 because the Astros were terrible,
right?
And he just didn't have the wins. But I associate him with the Rangers. Like when I first started following baseball, he was a Ranger.
Sure.
All the posters I had where he was a Ranger. Like So I he's my he'll just like I when I think of Rangers, I go straight to Nolan.
Yeah,
Ryan.
I wonder how big of a deal it was when he signed with the Rangers.
I mean, I think it was a relatively, and he threw two of his no hitters with the Rangers. Certainly his last one when he was like 41 or 42 or whatever, and like the Ventura fight, which is like one of the most famous moments of his career, at least televised, was a Ranger. I think just like even though he only played for them 4 or 5 seasons, he seemed to get a lot out of playing for the Rangers.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get that, but yeah. Like he signed with them when he was 42. He was still good in the years prior, but I wonder, you know, it'd be interesting.
When he with
them.
Oh wow,
it'd be interesting to go back in time and kind of or just talk to somebody, I guess, who would know about that. But
yeah.
Sort of like they must have signed him more as an attraction. Than as a pitcher, you know, of like, we're the Rangers. We're the worst team out of the two teams in this state. This is a big Texas guy, future Hall of Famer, you like chasing 300 wins. Like, this is a guy.
Oh, the strikeout record was with the Rangers.
This is a guy who will get people to the ballpark more than like, this is a guy who will help us. And make the playoffs. But then he was great.
That's what I think. I definitely agree with you. I think it probably. I mean, it's like the same reason people sign Bartolo Colon. Like, except for he's not chasing any milestones, but it's kind of a gimmick.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that teams sign Bartolo Colon because they don't have any better pitchers.
I mean, that's probably with the Rangers.
I mean, I guess that's part of it.
Situation.
But like, I don't think. I think it's more like. Maybe a team signing Wade Boggs, you know, the Rays signing Wade Boggs, Wade Boggs goes out and has a couple of all-star level years, you know.
Like what should have happened when Ken Griffey signed with the White Sox?
Well, when Ken Griffey signed with the Mariners again.
Oh, did he? Not,
he was traded to the White Sox. Sox. Come on, dude. What the fuck?
Sorry, I didn't keep up.
No, it's fine. This is a Rangers podcast. There's no reason you should know that.
So, he's my favorite Ranger. I think but it is interesting. I mean, I'm interested to hear from your dad, even if it doesn't happen while we're recording.
Yeah.
Definitely let me know.
I will.
So who's your favorite?
Well, my favorite, so as I have been routinely doing, I sort of like made a list of just a bunch of guys that I liked for the Rangers. And so I'll just go through a few of those before I actually land on the guy. Rusty Greer.
Oh.
I was always a fan of.
Yeah, love Rusty Greer.
Like, at least half because of his name, and I was, like, you know, 12 years old, and I was like, yeah, Rusty Greer's the coolest
name like
there
the-
is. But he was a really good player, battled injuries a lot, but, like, when he was healthy, he was a very good player.
I feel like Rusty Greer needs to play on a team like the Rangers.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
His name and the style of play doesn't have as much impact if he's on the... Reds or maybe Red Sox, but Yankees or even Braves. Like he's needs to be like a Ranger or like a Philly, something
like
that. I don't know what it is about
something
those
gritty.
Teams. Yeah,
I do think the Texas like Rusty Greer sounds like steer or something.
It could be that, yeah. But if it okay, keep going.
So Juan Gonzalez,
sure,
loved him.
Love
at
Juan
the time.
Gonzalez. Me too.
Just yeah, fun, electric. You know the like power and like I don't remember him being like a particularly big guy. Like he was super muscular, you know. But like I don't think he was like I'm looking it up right. He was 6'3", so he was like he felt like lean to me though. And then but then he just had this like quick bat where he could just demolish the fucking ball.
And like and he was like one of the guys like because home runs are. Of course, when you're a kid and you're following baseball, home runs are great. And I feel like the people hitting home runs when I first like logged on were Juan Gonzalez, Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds, and Frank Thomas.
Yeah.
Like those were the guys hitting home runs. And so he'll always have that place for me of like, this is one of the dudes that like showed me how cool it was to hit dingers.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Like I'm just looking at his baseball reference and Frank Thomas won the MVP in 94 and 95. Griffey won it in 93, I think, and Gonzalez won it in 96 and 98.
Griffey won in 97.
Or 97.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're totally right that he was, like, just right there with those guys. You know, I think he had about as high of a peak, but a much shorter back end of his career, and also was more tainted by steroids than those guys, even than Bonds, just because Bonds was so much better than him while on steroids.
Right.
But I always liked him. A little bit later, Rangers, I guess, like second heyday.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Michael Young and Ian Kinsler a lot.
Sure. Of course. You got to love Michael Young.
Yeah. I think he's a guy who I've like, I think I read about him personally a little bit and I was like turned off. So I've like tried not to read more about him.
Or
maybe it was just that he sort of refused to give up shortstop. Maybe
there was that weird thing where he was like not playing ball with what needed to happen.
Yeah.
To
for
club
the team.
Better.
Maybe that's all it was. But he's one of those guys who sort of did a little bit of everything that, you know, as much as it's a cliche among broadcasters and stuff, like, and it, that annoys me a little bit. It is like really hard to dislike a guy who hits like 330 with 40 doubles.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a player you're going to like watching.
Yeah. He's
and similar with Kinsler, I think. I think Young was better than Kinsler, but Kinsler. I talked about him when the Angels signed him, and then I think again in the trade. Like I like Kinsler a lot. So those are my late period Rangers guys.
Okay,
but I picked Pudge Rodriguez for my
favorite. He would be my favorite if I wasn't picking Nolan.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. You talk about electric players. It's like he broke the mold. I think for catchers, at least as I knew catchers. You know, the combination. I mean, I'd be very curious kind of like what the framing type stuff says about him. But, you know, the arm that he had, the those pickoffs at first. And then, you know, and on top of that, he could hit 300 and hit 30, 40 homers.
And it was sustained.
Yeah.
Like he should have. He was one of those dudes that should have worn down. I mean, it's like Yadier Molina shouldn't.
Right. Shouldn't be good still.
He's not that. He's definitely on the downward, but Molina's still a major league starting catcher.
Yeah,
and I feel
like
Pudge
upper,
did that.
Upper half.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Pudge on the Tigers, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I think everybody thought that was a crazy move, both because the Tigers were bad and because he was an old catcher, but he was good for them for many years. He did have...
The Marlins year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I think, like, what's interesting about his career a little bit is sort of the lack of productivity on like the beginning and ending of it.
Yeah.
Like he started as this like kind of pretty overrated guy. Like he was an all-star at age 20, but he couldn't hit at all.
Yeah.
And then he became this MVP who could hit 35 homers and, you know, you know, hit 350 basically. But then by the end, he became this sort of like backup guy who once again couldn't hit. And then sandwiched in the middle there was one of the greatest careers of all time. But the fact that he played 21 years and I don't know, just a very interesting career to me.
And you have to be pretty good to steal a nickname from someone.
Yeah, right.
Who
Pudge.
Played at the same time as you played.
Basically, yeah.
Wait, when did Ivan Rodriguez?
91.
Carlton Fisk was still playing in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They did overlap. Yeah. I think Fisk's last year was 93.
Yeah, so I didn't even know Carlton Fisk's nickname was Pudge until years after I knew about
Rodriguez.
Yeah. Like, I knew who Carlton Fisk was, but I just didn't realize because Pudge to me was always Rodriguez.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm the same, yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah. But I think, I don't know. It's hard to...
Do you have any Dean Palmer consideration?
I haven't thought about Dean Palmer in forever, but I did like him.
I like Dean
at the
Palmer
time.
Too.
That was just a crusher of a lineup, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
I used to like Rafael Palmeiro too. I mean, he's
right.
Like a villain. I guess he's trying to make a comeback.
Yeah, he's like 56 or something and in the indie leagues. Well, I mean, that is the kind of the point you get to when you're like, well, you know, that was the team that Canseco wrote a book about.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
true.
About doing steroids. It's not a coincidence maybe that Rodriguez and Gonzalez and Palmeiro and Palmer and Mickey Tettleton
thinking,
like all hit
Pudge?
Like
you thinking you're
he was
Pudge?
In Canseco's
he was
book.
In the book?
Yeah.
Dang.
But
Will Clark was on those teams.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that was a great lineup. What's surprising to me is Pudge only played in Texas until he was 30.
Oh, wow. I did not realize that.
Yeah. And he played baseball until he was 39.
Yeah. So he had a lot of non... did he wear a Rangers cap in the hall? I'll always associate him with the Rangers. Yeah, for sure. Did Beltre get into consideration? Beltre is probably...
I didn't think about it, but he's you know...
He's a journeyman?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I do think he'll probably wear a Rangers cap, but he's less indelibly Rangers to me.
I agree, but I feel like I started to really appreciate him when he was on the Rangers.
Yeah, agreed.
So, like, I definitely still think of him as a Dodger and kind of a Mariner, not really a Red Sox.
Yeah.
But, to me, it's kind of like, the Pudge we fell in love with was a Ranger, or I fell in love with as a Ranger. But I don't think he's my favorite. I think Pudge, if it wasn't for Nolan Ryan, it'd be Pudge.
Yeah.
So who is your least favorite?
Well, I am not entirely certain about this because I didn't go through the entirety of my memory banks, mm-hmm. but he jumped out at me, and I was like, that seems like a good choice. And it was Rougned Odor.
Oh, we have the same one.
Really? I was curious, actually.
That guy fucking sucks.
Yeah, he
kind of
does. He's having a killer year this year.
He really is, yeah.
But, yeah, he does suck.
Oh, he's such a... He's like... I feel like when there are all those people out there that get all pissed off about the way, like Francisco Lindor or Javier Baez play,
right.
think that they're Odor.
He's the flip side of that coin, for sure. Yeah. Like... A lot of what he does seems mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Like, the hustle, even, that he puts in
is,
such like...
such a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And
he was... And until this year, he was, like, really bad
the
last couple of
bad.
Years. Like, super overrated because he hit 30 homers, but he was, like, below replacement level. And I think, like, I haven't liked the Rangers teams recently. And I think... Like, in the same way that I like the 90s Rangers or, like, the mid-2000s Rangers. And I think he's a huge reason why. I think, like, in many ways, since that Bautista incident, he became, like, the face of that team a little bit. Even though, like, Elvis Andrus is a better player and a more fun player. Like, Beltre's
like
amazing.
A perfect ambassador.
Yeah,
like,
Shin-Soo Choo. Like, they still have Hamels even. Like, Darvish. They had, like, players who should be fun but, like, were kind of overshadowed by, like, a guy who just seems like a dick.
I feel like the guy they picked to try to make it be is Joey Gallo, and it just keeps not working.
I wish,
like,
it was Joey Gallo.
I know.
Joey Gallo is very likable.
Odor's OPS plus last year in 162 games was 64.
Yeah. That's bad.
I mean, he's having a good year this year, but 64.
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't like him. I really don't like him. And I feel like the Royals hate Jose Bautista. And there's this weird triangle of and I was like, I'm on Bautista's side with this Odor thing. Like, I just can't stand Odor.
You know what the one likable thing about Rougned Odor is?
What?
Is that he has a brother named Rougned Odor.
Is that for real?
Yeah. Who's a minor leaguer in the Rangers system.
Oh, I hope he gets good and he's like a sweet angel of a man.
They're like an evil twin and... good twin. It could happen.
Odor's 10 for 20 this year. For stolen bases. Not that great.
No.
I'm just trying to pick at him.
I actually am not super surprised that we...
had the same guy.
Yeah.
Do you know who I almost picked?
Who?
Josh Hamilton.
I almost picked Josh Hamilton.
Oh, really? I have never liked him. And not because of the trouble
drug
he get into. I'm very proud and happy that he was able to... I mean, he relapsed, but like...
Yeah. Is it because of the fundamental Christian stuff?
That doesn't help. He was one of the guys that just...
Oh, the White Sox Twins are restarting, and the Twins are putting Berríos back out there. I think there's no way they'll put Kopech back out there.
Because he'll have to sit through the whole second, the bottom of the second, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that makes like much of a difference. I just think it's more
like... They're going to win the White Sox score 8 runs.
Well, yeah. Yeah, Kopech needs to get the win.
He had undeniably great seasons, but to me it was always so obvious that he was a flash in the pan, which I've been wrong about before. See Aaron Judge this year.
Well, what is a flash in the pan? I mean, he had like, 5 or 6 really good years.
That many?
Yeah.
I don't think it was
for sure. He was like a several-time All-Star.
Yeah, but sometimes he was getting voted to be an all-star just because people knew who he was. He was overrated for a long time. I'm gonna stand by it. He had three great seasons, 10, 11, and 12, and that's it.
He was worth 5.5 wins in 08.
Oh, that's true. 10 was his, like, phenomenal year.
Yeah, that was his MVP
year. I just don't...
I mean, you're not wrong that, like, I don't think he was a flash in the pan so much.
Flash in the,
like,
pan's maybe wrong. It's not like he was, like, one season and we never heard from him.
Yeah,
like
I think I think it was just a more of a thing where, you know, he got a late start. He didn't make the majors until 26, wasn't a full-time player until 27. Yeah. And then he had a huge injury problems, whether that can be related to sort of the drug stuff and, like, the stuff, you know, the lack of baseball playing in his early 20s maybe is, like, a possibility that, like, I don't, you know, I'm not saying, like, that it's his own fault that he was hurt, but I'm saying, like, you know, his body obviously couldn't hold up to the rigors
of
playing every day for an extended period.
Dinger.
I thought
he caught it for a second.
Yeah, I did too.
It was gone that you saw it bounce up. So
Mickey D.
Something just, I don't know. Like, I feel like Rangers are a team where if a player gets good, I'm prone to like them. And for some reason, he just instantly rubbed me the wrong way, and I never liked Josh Hamilton.
Well, you can probably bond with a lot of Angels fans over that.
Yeah, well, for two different reasons. Because he was once their enemy and then a terrible signing.
Yeah.
A terrible player for them. Angels have had so many bad
free agent signings. Yeah, they sure have.
Pujols, Mo Vaughn.
Vernon Wells. Oh, man. Gary Matthews Jr.
Well, at least he wasn't.
Is that who I'm talking about?
Gary Matthews Jr., yeah.
Yeah.
But he wasn't, like, at the... I mean, like, Pujols and Mo Vaughn.
He got a huge contract.
But he wasn't previously at the level of...
Right.
Of, like...
But that makes it even worse, almost, that they gave him,
why,
like,
did they give him a huge
5-year contract?
Why are they so bad at that?
I don't know.
Even the ones this year didn't work out.
Yeah.
Because of injuries.
Yeah.
Mostly. Figured out, Angels. Jeez
Get
Louise.
Get with the program.
They should move, right? Get him out of there.
I don't know. Where would they move?
Montreal. I don't know.
I think there's like three or four teams at least that should move before the Angels move.
I think you're right. I just feel like they're always going to be second fiddle.
Yeah, but
I guess
so are
the
White
Clippers.
Sox.
The White Sox. Yeah, but at least they have, like, a White Sox have a 100-plus year history of being the second.
Yeah.
Like,
being the second.
They have their place.
They have a long tradition of being overshadowed.
They're an original 16 team. They should stay put forever.
I'm with you.
I'm sorry that the White Sox are second fiddle.
No, you're not.
You
wouldn't trade.
Well, I'm obviously a Cubs fan.
No, it's fine.
But there's...
It's fine.
I mean, here's what sucks about it, is that the minute the Cubs win the World Series, everyone they're the Yankees or Red Sox to everyone.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is the super annoying, which did not happen with the White Sox. In fact, people barely remember that they won the World Series. And I think there's something to be said for cheering for a team that's not, like, a national team.
Yeah.
You know what I, like...
Yeah, no, it's fine. It wouldn't be a big deal if, like... the team and sort of the Chicago baseball writers and media weren't constantly, like, shaming White Sox fans about, like, not coming to the ballpark and, like, stuff like that. Like, if it wasn't constantly, like, rubbed sort of in the faces of, like, you know, no, you aren't good fans and there's not enough of you. It's like, well, what the fuck do you want from me? I'm a pretty good fan. I watch, like, all the games. Like, I buy gear if I can.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, you know, I go to the away games. I can't go to, you know, like, that kind of thing.
Well, I don't know what they're talking about. You.
I know, but, like, that.
You,
I think,
Los Angeles White Sox fans.
I think it's just a common frustration of, like...
I get it.
It's this simultaneous, like, oh, you know, media pays way more attention to the Cubs, which fosters new Cubs fans. And then the media is saying, well, why aren't there any White Sox fans? And, like, why aren't they support? You know,
brother,
it's just,
I get
frustrating.
It. It's the same thing that I feel like it's happening with baseball at large, where it's like,
oh, yeah,
baseball's broken, isn't it? Look how much baseball's broken.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then it's
right.
like, shut up.
Self-perpetuating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, it's like, yeah, if the team put together a good fucking team for 2 years in a row, maybe that would bring people out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Or, you know, had a stadium that was good. A good stadium.
It's true.
Well, we bookended this with White Sox talk. Very well.
Just like every conversation that I have.
Literally. Every conversation I've ever
had.
What's
up, Waylon? You see the White Sox?
Okay,
Greg, good to see you, man.
No, I came here for a reason, Greg. I need help.
Oh, you're bleeding.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm bleeding. So go to the hospital. You know, the White Sox.
Well, yeah, let's wrap things up there, I guess.
Cool.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Good ep, I think. Happy Kopech Day once again. Yeah, and like we talked about at the beginning, just text a couple friends. Let them know about the show. It's easy to find. It's fun to listen to. They'll love it. They'll be grateful to you.
And we should be weekly until the end of the World Series.
Yeah,
hopefully,
at least.
Unless something crazy happens.
At least.
At least. Mm, ooh,
what a tease.
You're right.
Well, thank you once again to Boardwalk Audio. Thank you to OffTheBenchBaseball.com. Thank you to Moonbounce for the transition music. Find us on Twitter at DuckStorePod. Subscribe, leave reviews, all that good stuff. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.